שלום, אנחנו לומדים מתוך הספר כתבי בעל הסולם, מאמרי שמעתי.
Hello, we're reading from the book Shamati. In English, it's the white version of Shamati on page 274. Shamati article 117. You labored and did not find, do not believe. You can ask questions at cab.tv. Questions on the study topic will be asked during the lesson. Again, Shamati. In the English white version of Shamati, it's on page 274, article 117. You labored and did not find, do not believe. Necessity of the labor is a requirement. Since the Creator gives man a present, he wants man to feel the benefit in the present. Otherwise, that person would be like a fool. As our sages said, who is a fool? He who loses what he is given. Because he does not appreciate the importance of the matter, he does not watch over the present closely. There is a rule that one feels no importance in anything if one has no need for that thing. And as the measure of the need and the suffering, if one does not attain it, so one senses gladness, pleasure, and joy at the fulfillment of the need. It is similar to one who is given all sorts of good beverages, but if one is not thirsty, he tastes nothing, as it is written, as cold waters to a faint soul. Hence, when meals are set to please the people, there is a custom. As we prepare meat and fish and all sorts of good things, we take note to serve bitter and piquant things, such as mustard, hot peppers, sour and salty foods. All of this is to evoke the suffering of hunger, since when the heart tastes a piquant and bitter flavor, it evokes hunger and deficiency, which one needs to satisfy with the meal of good things. We should not ask, why do I need things to arouse hunger? After all, the host should only prepare fulfillment for the need, meaning the meal, and not prepare things that evoke the need for the fulfillment. The obvious answer is that since the host wants the people to enjoy the meal, to the extent that they have a need for the food, to that very extent, they will enjoy the meal. It follows that if he will give many good things, it will still not help them enjoy the meal, due to the above reason that there is no fulfillment without a need. Hence, to be awarded the light of God, there must also be a need. And the need for it is the labor. To the extent that one exerts and demands the Creator during the greatest concealment, to that extent one becomes needy of the Creator. This means that the Creator will open his eyes to walk by the path of the Creator. Then, when one has that kli, that vessel of a deficiency, when the Creator gives him some help from above, one will already know how to keep this present. It turns out that the labor is considered achoraim, posterior, and when one receives the achoraim, one has room in which to be awarded the panim, the face. It is said about that, a fool has no wish for wisdom. This means that he does not have a strong need to exert to obtain wisdom. Thus, he has no achoraim, and he naturally cannot be awarded the discernment of panim. This is the meaning of, as is the sorrow, so is the reward. That is, the sorrow, called effort, makes the kli, so one can be awarded the reward. This means that to the extent that one regrets, to that extent one can later be rewarded with joy and pleasure.
Y todavía. The goal of creation is to bring man to the peak of development, to make him independent, whole, as the Creator. We don't know what the Creator is or the upper force and what it really means to be independent and whole. But from what the Kabbalists explain, we can realize that if our matter is opposite to the Creator, because in order to be independent, we first have to be different, and the difference to the Creator is to be opposite to the Creator. Therefore, a will to receive was created, opposite to the Creator himself. So although that matter is existence from absence, and it's opposite, all the forms in it are exactly like the Creator. The upper light influences works on that point of existence from absence that was created as a complete opposite, and it creates all of his forms in that matter, but in that matter they become opposite forms. And from that, the creature begins to feel its reality. We already find ourselves after many concealments and remoteness from the Creator. We begin our development from afar, from the most opposite, farthest point from the Creator. And the whole progress happens by opposites. The upper light that created us is in complete rest, filling up everything limitlessly. And the Creator, who wanted us to be independent, gives us an opportunity to make steps towards that purpose of becoming independent and whole as He is. He gives us a chance to do it on our own, meaning that we're in a state where we ourselves must develop ourselves. As he writes here in the article, we have to obtain the force of development by ourselves. The force is there. We can't create it. We can't create any qualities or our own states or degrees. What's up to us is to want it to happen. Meaning to discover the piquant things and bitter things and additions of all kinds that will become as a desire deficiency for development. Then we'll be able to reach the goal. Because if the upper light is in complete rest, we only need to discover greater and greater desire. And according to the desire, the light affects. And then our desire is shaped and becomes a ready kli for fulfillment. And then the light fulfills it. Meaning that besides having a desire first, we don't lack anything. But where will I take that desire for development from?
The desire that I have from my own, of my own, is very little. Some people have corporeal deficiencies. They lack all kinds of things in this world, so they chase them until they despair. And some are even willing to give up on some things of this world, maybe even a better life and a better fulfillment, because their desire is a different one. And that's just how it was done. They want to know what is the secret of life, the meaning of life, the purpose. And so they develop that way. And everyone must find the means to develop in the direction he aspires for. Our means is our effort. The greater effort we make, the clearer it is, the more focused and directed at the goal it is. Accordingly, we draw the light that reforms and it advances us. So it turns out that all of man's moments in life is to constantly do what? Be in scrutiny of what is most effective for me every moment to draw the light that reforms. As it says, I created the evil inclination, I created the spice of Tola. Why is it a spice of Tola? Because the light in it reforms. It corrects the evil inclination to a good inclination, and then with that good inclination as a vessel, you receive the sensation of spiritual life. And that's basically the entire formula. So every moment we try to find the most effective means, that's basically our effort. Usually, a person is used to kind of just flow in life, and he thinks that he advances that way. And that flow gives him a progress of inanimate level. Meaning, if you're in the study, you're in the group, you're in these things as a routine. So, you're simply pushed by the general force, pushing all of those who want to reach the goal in a collective flow. And that is called being a still or inanimate on our level, what's called sacred still. However, there's no personal development in that. Personal development, progress, comes from how much one invests, makes an effort in teasing himself, in stimulating himself, adding all these condiments, so to speak, of piquant and bitter things and salty things and so on, meaning that he's not afraid to evoke the appetite by unpleasant stimuli. Because he realizes that he has no other choice, only that way, only through such kind of sharp states, such that don't have mercy on him, meaning to be shown how opposite and far he is from holiness, that this way he awakens and makes a move on his own, not just flowing in the general flow of his society. Therefore, we must make an effort. As it is said, I labored and I found, believe, meaning then it happens, then the revelation of the Creator opens up. It's only on the condition that one makes an effort beyond the routine, the habit. And this is the problem, that usually it's very hard for us to get out of the habit. We're used to getting used to a certain schedule, a certain daily routine, and same things that happen, and same fulfillment, and so on, and it becomes a second nature. And although I may go through years like that, it seems to me that I'm on the path for years. And then I may have a complaint of, well, what's going on with me? What's happening? But I don't realize that I simply flow with the general current. But with respect to the spiritual degree, this is still, it's inanimate, because I haven't made personal effort. Because spirituality that appears must appear according to one's own personal preparation and development. So it's true that I'm still moving forward, I'm still advancing, because I take part with all the others, whatever I can. But what's important is beyond that general current and habit is the personal effort. How much a person evokes his appetite each time with the spicy things, with the unpleasant things. And he examines and criticizes himself and pressures himself, trying to accelerate times. And he sees that he must make an effort, because only, as it is written, I labored and I found, believe.
Good morning. How do I deal with the ego that... How do I deal with the ego that... I did all these efforts in dissemination or something, and then I come home and go, wow, great, I did these great efforts. And
first of all, it's not incorrect. Whatever you have, you have. You don't need to cancel that. You need to add. What you did, you did. That's for sure is registered.
But each day it's as if anew, I awaken anew, and what I think about these nice moments that I disseminated.
Well, look, a person is like a baby that can't grow from suffering, only from appetite, from fulfillment, from filling himself up. So if you made a correct action and you saw a good result from it, and you can encourage yourself by that to make next actions, don't erase that. That's all correct. On the contrary, you need to make as many actions like that as possible and have success and take pride in that.
I'm saying, to be proud of it, yeah.
Yes, that's absolutely fine. But that's on a certain level. That's on, say, an animate level. You want to grow the human, the Adam within you. So, does that action evoke you to see whether you discovered the upper force, whether you made an action of bestowal? Did it make you rise towards a higher level? What did I feel from this? What did I understand from this? How did I connect to others through that? Maybe I actually forgot about them and I took pride in what I did and not that I contributed to everyone together and so on. There are many calculations here. You shouldn't just skip all of that and or eliminate that. No, you should review all of that. And a person learns from everything, positively, negatively. So these actions actually provide a lot of ground for scrutiny. So you should do that. It's not like you should eliminate it and think, oh, I'm going to just be prideful in that and that's it. No, so you discover that you also, that you're more broken. That's also a sort of an attainment then. You don't eliminate anything. And also the action itself counts. Whatever it is, doesn't matter. Even if you just say, came in the evening to the book week, or some round table event that you took part in. Let's say you came, you did a few things there, you worked really hard, you really exerted yourself, and let's say even in the evening, you know, at the end, you get 100 shekels for it. No, so I'm telling you, not even just that pride, reward of pride. Let's say you got money for it. Even if you did all of that in order to get that, still there is participation. There is some grip, some touch here. Meaning the entrance to spirituality starts from the lowest, most contemptible, crude things, but all the more so if you come with all your heart preparing yourself, taking part, and then you see that your ego is taking pride in that, that's perfectly fine. That's the situation. And who said that you shouldn't enjoy from that? No. Who said you shouldn't? Only you should add another calculation. Who do I want this pleasure to go to? How much do I want to share this with the group? How much do I want to reach the Creator from that and cause His revelation in the world?
A student from Brooklyn is asking, saying, look, I come each day to the lesson and it seems like I get pleasure from this. Is that labor as well, or is that not?
Yes, we should enjoy. Why is it forbidden, you know, to study the Torah in this special date, the holiday of Tisha B'Av, when it's like a memorial day? Why? Because the Torah is supposed to bring joy. The purpose of creation is to benefit the creatures, to delight the creatures. So it depends on what type of thing you enjoy. There's a difference between someone who slaughters someone on the street and enjoys that, or someone who helps other people and enjoys that. That's a pleasure and that's a pleasure. So the purpose of creation is an eternal pleasure, a pleasure of bestowal, a pleasure that is above, independent of the vessels. A pleasure that happens when the vessel is similar to the light. That type of pleasure is defined as the general purpose.
Pasha from Moscow is asking, what is labor? Is it something where you can help others exert?
Effort means above what I can.
He asks, can we help one another exert? And could it not reach a state where as if you're robbing the other person of something?
I can't help the other make an effort. I can set an example for the other to make it easier for him to make his effort. Then the question is, am I robbing him of his effort by that? No. Actually, the opposite. The more everyone can help each other in a way that their effort will become easier, the more effective it is, the more helpful it is. Why? because you replace corporeal effort with spiritual effort. Corporeal effort seems very difficult, very hard. Spiritual effort seems easier. Why? Because you add the force of the group. Let's say you have to move 100 tons. So you do move that 100 tons of ego, but a million people push it with you. Meaning you're not supposed to feel that 100 tons in front of you. What you actually need is to use that difficulty of the 100 tons to reach a connection of a million people. Therefore, there's no need to just suffer. We just have to understand why we suffer. If there is any suffering, unpleasantness, sorrow in some place, this isn't the correct effort. As it says, you didn't call me Jacob. Meaning, if you feel pain, this isn't the right effort you're making.
So, and that friend from Moscow asks, what should we be enjoying from at the end of it all?
Who do we make an effort for? Who do we exert ourselves for? Yes, Geshen.
How can a person who is in this life that you depicted earlier, if you, with the force of the group, turn corporeal effort into spiritual effort?
He has to be with them. He has to be together with them. That means being together, to give all he can for them and to receive all he can from them. How else? If we're talking in terms of this world, it's like I have to move a wall that weighs 100 tons. I can't do it. But you're told, I labored and I found. Meaning, yes, you are capable. Why? Because I labored, meaning that there has to be an effort. But an effort in what? An effort in finding. Finding that in order to move the wall, you have to have a million friends with you. Then you'll do it easily. And you won't even have to move the wall. Only through your power of connection, you'll look at the wall and it'll be gone.
But it seems like he's in the force of connection, that he's putting in these efforts and everything he needs to do.
Who told you corporeal force of connection? This I don't understand. I don't understand. I understand that the goal that of the connection is to achieve mutual bestowal, and the connection is by each nullifying himself before the others and seeing the others as greatest of the generation and wanting to connect in, from love of the created being to love of the creator. What's corporeal here?
So now you're saying that it's not corporeal. So where does a person get that power from? It's his own personal efforts or what?
He draws strength from little corporeal things. They go out to disseminate together to some event, he takes part in the study. He does all kinds of simple things, little things that he can do, and he asks for importance from them. He asks for importance of what we're all engaged in, importance of the means, importance of the goal, importance of the teacher, of the study, of the topic itself. If there's importance, then it's no problem. Then it's easy for me to engage in that. If there's no importance, then sure, why do I need all that? I don't have any strength to engage in that. Yes.
You depicted earlier a state where a person can make this exertion over years and stay at the level of the inanimate. Yes, in any case he lives, and he doesn't just live for the sake of it, he lives, but in this mutual collective flow. But we are speaking When we speak about the inanimate, we're speaking of billions of years of development, just like in the universe. If it's the vegetative level, then it's millions and millions of years. If it's the animate level, then it's millions of years. If it's a person, then it's like 100,000, 200,000 years of development. So you see, it's like this pyramid. The human development is very fast in relation to the animate level. Just look at cows of today and cows of 100 years ago. How much have they changed? If it weren't for the humans who developed them, we're talking about the animate world. So it's as if it hasn't even changed. Or maybe there's changes, but very small ones. And with vegetative, even less. And with the inanimate, you cannot even discover that something's changed there. So it's the same thing with spirituality. You advance in any case, but how much you advance, in what pace, that depends on you. It all depends on how much you put yourself under the influence of the environment in which will speed up your development. Okay, great. So in order to speed up the development, I don't want such a development where it goes for billions of years. I want to speed it up. So in order to speed it up, you said that there is this individual exertion, what you called personal individual exertion. So what is that individual exertion? Where do I get the forces for individual exertion? We are living in the material world. Material means that I am capable of making physical actions without desire. Without desire. I can hug someone even though I don't want to hug him. I can smile at someone even though I want to kill him. I can do these physical actions against my desire. In spirituality, there is no body. Therefore, I don't have anything I can do, only work with the heart. In our world, I can make this work in the heart, but if not, then at least I can do that in the body. And then these actions in the body are beneficial and can advance me to that same goal since I make that same action. Then we can start engaging in something which is very distant and very opposite from the goal. We can. It all depends on how much a person listens and how much he, in any case, carries things out, does the actions. That is not too smart. So that's a problem here. If you're talking about the problem here, it's this, our homology, which holds us back. Yes. If there is none else besides him, how can I put in this exertion if it's given from above?
What you're given from above is an opportunity. That opportunity, every moment you get, you have a free choice. So, how do you make the action now? Do you do it with your own effort or the force that you got from above? That's where the choice is. Now, let's put it like this. I'm at a certain state. State one, and I have to reach state number two. The difference between one and two is that in state number two, I'm better than state number one. Now, I can be better in two ways. Either in a path of suffering or by path of light that reforms the surrounding light. That's where the choice is, between these two paths. Here lies free choice. What does it give me? if I will come to the second state anyway from this for the first state, this actually gives me the difference in height, in raising myself from the ego to qualities of bestowal. And then I raise that goal higher, and so next time I begin from a higher level already to advance. Now, if I don't actualize my free choice, I don't build the vessel. I only advance by suffering. I don't build any vessel here. Meaning what I get by suffering is only evil. What I get through the light is goodness. Meaning the same state that I reach can be felt in two different ways, in a bad way or in a good way. And this way I advance, meaning now we've reached a certain point in our development. We've developed, but this development seems to me badly. Towards my ego, I see that I'm emptier. I could have been in the same state, but with respect to the will to bestow, feel that I'm more advanced. So it depends on how do you look at it. Do you look at the empty part or the full part? Meaning that we always advance. The question is, what discernments do I make? What do I attain? Either all the time bad, 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 or good and good and good and good. Or the bad states I feel accumulate to such a point that I can't stand it anymore, and then I move to the good path. And also, I didn't mention it here, but it seems like I come from the bad state to the good state in the same time, whether by path of suffering or path of light, but it's incorrect. Because in path of suffering, it takes me a whole lot longer path than by path of light, meaning there's a difference in time too. So you can ask about all those things, so what, at the end of the day? Okay, so less time, less suffering, more pleasure, okay, but what more? What's more? What's more is that I attain discernments, observations between darkness and light, me and the Creator, me and others. And then these discernments help me unlock the spiritual world. I have to feel where I am. Around me, nothing is changing. Only I have to change. Only I have to build these discernments, these vessels within me. I'm surrounded by abundance, heaven, goodness. Where is all that? Instead of feeling all that, I feel I'm tired, lack of interest, not inspired, and so on. Yes, Be'er Sheva.
Good morning, Rav, friends, world clear. I have this complicated question. The first paragraph in the article says that as much as labor increases, well, then we can increase the kli and get the reward. That's where it's written at the end of the article. Now, my question here, it sounds to me that in every bit of labor that I give, I will get the reward. We've always learned that my reward needs to be the labor itself. How can one complement the other?
How does the reward complement the effort?
Here it's written that my labor increases the kli, and then I get the reward. That's what's written at the end of the article. In the past, we've learned, this is what I understood in any case, that really the reward I need to get is the labor itself, that I don't need to get reward. The reward is the labor. So how does that go together with what's written at the end of the article here, where it says that the labor increases the kli, and through that I get the reward?
There's a light that corrects the vessels and a light that fulfills the vessels. Towards the light, it's the same thing. But towards you, that's how it is, because in order to come to feel something, you first have to correct yourself. You have to adapt yourself to that feeling. So, correcting your sensation, sensory vessels, is also called a reward. Now, the final result, which is the reward too, can come from feeling fulfilled, or filling others, or bringing contentment to the Creator. It depends on your vessels. So the reward means you got what you wanted, but if on the way you've changed many times, and each time your reward changes, then you end up having exactly the discernments here of you changing each time and the reward changing each time, and one thing does not cancel out the other here. Until you come to a point where only the changes in you, the changes in the kli, are important. Why? Because you already have a clear feeling that all the rest of the changes are towards bestowal. Therefore, you tie this together clearly, emotionally, that any change is towards bestowal, and therefore any change is to bestow contentment to the Creator. Therefore, you're relating to bestowal to the Creator, or the correction of your kli, equally. It's the same thing for you, and that becomes your reward. We must move on to the next part.
We're going to the next part of the lesson.